Hey everyone, welcome back to People Skills after a week off last week. My name is Allie Patterson. It's great to be with everyone joining us at Crossroads this weekend. I thought maybe you could use a little refresher since we had a week off where we've been in this series called People Skills, because probably the number one thing that we hear from everyone in community at Crossroads is we really want to find our people here. We want to find our fit. We want to get connected. And so this series was kind of born from looking at, okay, who do I need to be a good, healthy, functioning member of community? And who should I be looking for in my life to connect with? And so we've looked at all kinds of different things, and I'm telling you, we could be all the things perfectly that we've done so far and talked about so far in the series, but if we don't get today right, we will still never find our people. And we seem to be hardwired with a goal to do that, right? We seem to all want to connect with others in our life in a way that sustains us and brings us life and where we have actual thriving community. But today, we're going to talk about a stumbling block to that. We're going to talk about rejection and the people skill of having thick skin in the presence of rejection and dealing with that and being resilient in rejection. We want to develop thick skin. Being rejected, unfortunately, in some way, shape, or form is probably a universal human experience. It's one of the few things that we could all probably name like that off the top of our head. Instances, experiences where we have been somehow rejected. Even when I say that word, it makes me kind of feel like I'm in middle school, where like the height is, you know, it's very charged and every social relationship very important and you didn't get invited to the sleepover and you remember it 30 years later. And yes, that is for sure a part of what we're talking about, but it also could be that you have been long since rejected by a family member or you got a letter in the mail not that long ago that says, "We regret to inform you that we've given the job to another candidate." This is not something that we leave behind in middle school. Rejection follows us around, and unfortunately, it's very, very painful. I actually did quite a bit of reading as I was preparing for this weekend about how we experience the pain of rejection. Not great reading. I'm glad I did it on your behalf, but it is the most painful emotional human experience there is. Lots of psychologists agree with that. And as a matter of fact, the neuropathways that the pain travels on are the same ones as physical pain in our bodies. It literally hurts us to be rejected. And that's a hurt that many of us carry. And it's turned into calluses. Have you ever had calluses on your hand? My daughter is really awesome at the monkey bars. I don't know how. I've been in therapy for my rotator cuff one too many times to try that anymore. But she develops calluses on her hand, and that's what a lot of us have for being in community. We have these hard places, this buildup from the friction, from the tension of trying to connect to people and being rejected. And today we want to resurrect hope, desire, endurance to be in community. We want thick skin. We don't want to be calloused. And I know that there's good things waiting, and that's why we can't kind of give up this goal. It seems to be that God has a design for us to be in community, and if you read through the Bible, what you see is that he plants all kinds of good things in community for us. There is no concept of growth in the Bible without being in community. The fullest joy is in community. The provision, care, support, help that God seems to want for us is inside community. But the truth is, we're not that great at it. And I used to have this little fantasy about how it would feel, what it would look like in my life, and what it would feel like. And it was maybe influenced by the show I used to watch all the time, Friends. Any other Friends watchers in the room? Yeah, lots of good fans. And I hear it's making a comeback with teenagers because all the seasons are on Netflix, so now everybody is watching Friends again, so I'm told. And this, you know, here we are. We're walking down the street with our loosened ties and our champagne. Some of us are dating. We're always together. We go to the coffee shop all the time. We probably even cut our work hours so we can just hang out all the time. And this concept like sunk into my brain that this intense togetherness and this exclusivity of five or six people that should just be my people, it just sort of got in my bones. And to be honest, community has never looked like that in my life. As a matter of fact, it's actually been a very long process of God sort of taking me through instances of rejection that actually sort of helped me to find my people. And that is exactly what I want to talk about today. How do we weather rejection and come out on the other side with a real, thriving community in our life? It is possible, but we need three P's to do it. I feel like Brian Tome this weekend, he always has like the three R's and the three L's, and he always has the three things that all start with the same letter. Well, this weekend, three P's. We're going to talk about the three P's of rejection. One of them is to see patterns in our life that rejection has helped us to create. And we want to talk about persevering through rejection and ultimately leaning into the purpose behind it. And so we're going to talk through the three P's, and the first one is to see the patterns in our life around rejection. When I said this was universal and painful, we bend ourselves around the voice of rejection. We develop patterns to deal with it. I actually asked some friends as I was preparing for this weekend. I thought, I know what it feels like when I get rejected. I know what that voice in my head says to me, but I'd like to hear what it says to other people too. So I asked, and here's what I was told. They don't need you. They don't want you. You just don't fit there. They don't like you. You are not invited. They want to do it, just not with you. You just aren't good enough. You're not a priority. Everyone else has friends, and you're just not important enough to them. And I'll add one to the list because last week I was putting my youngest daughter to bed. I have four kids, and I was putting my little girl to bed. No problems were happening. No incidents had gone down. Normal day, putting her to bed. She looks up at me and says, "Mommy, I don't know if I love you." Oh my goodness. Like, if you want to knock the wind out of a parent, that's the way to do it. I don't know if I love you. It took me all week to stop hearing those words when I would look at her. That's the voice of rejection. And we will do anything to avoid hearing that voice. And when we hear it, we have to deal with it. We can't just let it sit there. And what I told myself all week was, she's little. She doesn't even know what she's saying. I mean, who knows what's going on inside her head? I was trying to reconcile that experience, and that's exactly what we do. And we do that one of two ways. And I want you to think about your own experiences of being rejected so that you can identify your own pattern. We either say, well, it's not me, it's you. And that's kind of what I did with my little one. I thought, there's nothing wrong. I didn't say anything. I wasn't mean mommy today or anything. It has to be something with her. What is going on inside her head? And we say things like, it's just a political decision, or he's kind of a jerk, or she's always that way. And we point the finger out at other people because we have to figure out what's going on. Maybe some of us do that, and maybe you come off as crusty or angry or a little bit bitter when you experience rejection. I call that the "it's not me, it's you." But there's another pattern. Or maybe you do this one. Maybe you say, well, it doesn't seem to be you, so it must be me. And you point the finger in. And you replay the conversation, looking for the point where you deserve to be rejected. Or you go over your qualities, thinking how many times you've annoyed people, and that it's probably the fact that you are too intense, too much, not enough, fill in the blank. It must be you. And when you're faced with rejection, your self-confidence takes a hit. You move into spiraling self-doubt, and maybe even end up hating things about yourself that you think are the reason that you are getting rejected. We each have a pattern. We either point the finger out or we point the finger in, but it's too much, it's too painful to just let it sit there and not try to deal with it. So this is like the 401 class. Every week during this series, if you've been with us for any of them, you've noticed that we've done a little experiment, either at home if you're joining us online or in a room if you're joining us at any of the Crossroads sites. We're going to do a little experiment. We've been doing this through the whole series. We're going to bring up the lights and we're going to answer a question and practice being human. We're actually going to talk to each other. And so what I want you to answer this time is, what's my pattern? You don't have to share the instance that you're thinking of if you want to, but I want you to turn to someone with you and say, to the best of your ability, which one do you do more often? Do you say, it's not me, it must be you? Or do you say, it's not you, so it must be me? So turn to each other right now, wherever you are. If you're online, maybe you can type in the comments which one feels more like you, but let's practice identifying this pattern in our life. 2 minutes. Got 2 minutes. Ready, go. Good job. I think that's hard. I think it's hard to think that quickly, and it's hard to share those things, I think, with each other. I told you, we're getting to the end of the series. The challenges are going to get a little bit higher. So anyway, not only do we have patterns when we're hit with that rejection immediately, but we so don't like it. It so hurts us that we sort of develop patterns in our life to avoid ever even having to face it. I'll tell you what a couple of those are for me. One I've known for a long time, and it's really pretty simple. It's just not having that many people in my life. It's an effective strategy for avoiding a lot of rejection, but it's maybe not what God would ultimately want for us. I just tend to maybe put a high bar, or you know, I really have to trust you if I'm going to bring you in. It's definitely in my way in terms of being able to connect deeply in authentic community in my life. One of the other ones, I had to laugh because one of the guys on our weekend team used this word for me just this week, and I had already had the insight that it's part of how I avoid rejection, and so I said, you gotta listen to the message this weekend because of that word you just used for me. So I think my teammates would say, on any team here at Crossroads or other places that I've played or worked or whatever, I think they would say, she might have a strong thought or opinion, but ultimately she's flexible. She's flexible. And that word has been used so often. And as I was thinking through how do I avoid rejection, I realized that's one of my ongoing strategies. I might think something very strongly, but ultimately I'm probably going to be flexible. makes me look reasonable. People like working with me. And also, I avoid being rejected. We all have these things that we do in our life, and they're not necessarily terrible, but they all do cut off some part of authentic community, authentically sharing ourselves with one another. Maybe you're the super nice person. You are so nice, there could never be a reason to reject you. You always have a smile on your face. You're Mr. Everybody knows you, everybody likes you, and that's your strategy. Maybe that's not you at all, and as a matter of fact, you just like to get out in front of it. You like to know who's doing what, where, when, why, and you like to move all the pieces around so that you will never be rejected. We all have different ways that we do this. But one of the things that I really wanted us to see is how deeply we avoid this kind of pain and how we bend our lives around avoiding this kind of pain. And as a matter of fact, that brings us to our second P, because the second P is perseverance. What if we didn't run? What if we didn't strategize? What if we just endured it? This is what we see in the life of Jesus. Jesus got rejected time and time and time again, and he never treated rejection as something to avoid, something to run from, or something to be afraid of. He endured it. And that is confounding to us who bend our lives around not wanting to feel that pain. And so I want to read you an instance in the book of Mark, chapter 6, where Jesus was rejected. He had been rejected by religious leaders, by friends, by followers, by crowds, by his own family, and he ends up in his hometown where he grew up, where everybody knows your name. Jesus left there and he went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that's been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon? Aren't his sisters right here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his own relatives, and in his own home." Jesus was rejected by the people that knew him the best. When he began to do what God made him to do, his people rejected him. It said he arrived there with his disciples. That was basically his group. Those were his 12 dudes. And he traveled with them, and he ministered with them, and he did life with them on a day-in, day-out basis. Guess how many of them rejected him at some point in his life? 12. All 12. And a few in a very deep and very personal and very hurtful way. And Jesus never ran, and he never gave up. At Crossroads, we talk about groups a lot. We say, get in a group, get in a group, get in a group. You should be in a group. You find your people in a group. And I'll tell you, I'm pro-group. I really am pro-group. But the way that groups have happened in my life has not been what I usually hear Brian and Chuck talk about. I'm happy for them with their perfectly functioning, happy small groups. I really am. Do you believe me? I'm so happy that Chuck has his dudes. And I'm so pleased that Brian and them, they went on that trip. You know, they're in great small groups. Sometimes I've been in a great small group, and it's been amazing. And sometimes mine, it's just looked a little bit messier. So I decided to draw it out on a piece of paper and share it with you, and some of our creative folks helped me to put it in a form that I could talk to you about it in. This is my messy journey through groups into community, because I think community is something a little bit different than a group, but groups has played an important role for me. So here's what you're looking at. The big circles are groups that I've tried, and y'all, this isn't even all of them. I've been here like 18 years. I've done a lot of groups. And every time I do a group, you can see a couple of small circles. Those are people that have traveled with me out of that group and into my community. And the lines that are connecting everybody, maybe one of those people leads me to my next group experience, and then I take another person from there, from that group, into my community. And over time, what I have noticed that God has done is he's not only connected me into different groups, he's also begun to weave those individuals together so that they also know each other. And it's been a long time, but I exist in a beautiful, supportive, loving community. And sometimes I can't quite remember how it happened. And when I put my mind to it and I tried to draw it, it looked really messy, really fast, and groups played a role, but it wasn't that I ever had my friend's fantasy. It wasn't that I ever got in a group where it was all good all the time and I'm still doing it today. It just hasn't looked like that for me. But I have tried again and again, and I've tried to persevere. As a matter of fact, I've even had a conversation with God going, I'm done trying. And he's like, no, you're not. And given all these years, I can finally sort of see that he's created this beautiful web of people in my life that I actually see as my community, and it's real and it's thriving today. And I don't have a perfectly functioning small group. I don't. Do you think I'm gonna get fired for that? Nah. No. I hope I will again. Maybe I will this summer. I will try again. I will keep going because persevering. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I want you to look at this. Can you put that back up again? The yellow dots represent individuals or groups where I weathered a significant issue of rejection. Maybe it was when the group broke up. Maybe it was somebody, this was real, somebody just didn't like me. Can you imagine that? You can't imagine that. But like half of them, right? I mean, that's roughly half. I could recall a name, a situation, an issue where there was rejection involved. And if I had given up, if I had let me chase that off, which I frankly wanted to do sometimes, I never would have ended up with this beautiful web of community in my life today. I would have ended up much more alone. This is the way that God has built community for me. And yes, groups have played a part. But many of us run away from groups because of exactly what I said about Jesus. Even the closest people tend to hurt us sometimes. They tend to cause that reaction where we don't feel connected to them, where we experience rejection. And the question is, how can we get ourselves to stop running from it? How can we? I actually came across this TED Talk online. There was a guy who was discussing in a TED Talk this thing that he tried called rejection therapy. And he went out and tried to get rejected for 100 days in a row. Under the theory that if he could just expose himself to the sting of rejection, that maybe he would stop running from it. Maybe he could just kind of dull his senses to it and get used to it. So I decided, with a little urging from our team, to try some rejection experiences myself. And so what my team did for the weekend was they gave me a bunch of envelopes that look like this. They delivered them to my husband, who for the last week or so would occasionally hand one to me as my rejection experiment for the day. And so one of them, I'll start off with a low bar. One of them was make a disgusting sandwich and offer someone you don't know half of your sandwich. So I made a peanut butter and pickle. I think the challenge called for a peanut butter and tuna fish, but I didn't have any tuna fish. So I subbed the tuna for a pickle and I tried to share it with someone who of course said no. Right, so that was a little bit lower of a bar, but here was the hardest one. My husband had a smirk on his face when he handed me these because, of course, he read them before he gave them to me. So he hands me this and he says, do this one, you have time. And inside the envelope, it said, go to a park and find someone with a baby in a stroller and ask if you can walk their baby around the park. Are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm a mom of four. I know what the answer to that is going to be. No. But I'm play along. I'm going to do these. So I go to the park. There was only one baby in the whole park that I went to. And she wasn't in the stroller, but she was near her stroller. Her mom was holding her. And her dad was there too. And mom hands the baby to dad right as I walk up. My daughter was with me and she knew what I was doing. So I was like, go swing. I need you because you can't loiter at a park without a kid. But just go swing and let me do this. So I go over and baby gets handed to dad, who is like 6'5", 285. And so I walk up and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. The baby's not even in the stroller, but I need to figure out a way to get rejected. I'm going to improvise a little bit. So I just strike up a friendly conversation. Do you live near here? We start chatting. They're very, very nice. And I'm desperately thinking, how can I make them reject me? I can't ask the stroller thing. I got to come up with something else. So I just randomly blurt out, I really like babies. Can I hold your baby? Which is sort of weird, but maybe not all the way to crazy. And so he kind of looked startled at me, and then he was like, okay. And he hands me the baby, and I'm like, oh, that didn't work. So in comes my daughter right about then, because I'm holding the baby, and she's like, whose baby are you holding? So she runs up, and I'm like, light bulb. I said, hey, this is my daughter. She likes babies. Can she hold your baby? And he was like, okay. And I was like, oh, for the love. I mean, come on. So my daughter is holding the baby at the park, and I whip out my phone, and I say, can I take a picture of my daughter holding your baby? And he was like, okay. He would not reject me. And then all of a sudden, he stands up, he hands the baby to his wife, and says, the baby's hungry. And he goes, I gotta go check on my son. He said he's around here somewhere, and he goes, sometimes people come to parks just to lure the kids away from their parents. And I was like, oh, I pressed the crazy button somewhere in there. He was like, I gotta go find my kid. I think he thought I was part of some big scam that was happening in the park. That I felt absolutely nuts, you guys. But he was too nice to reject me. So I don't know, do you call that a win or a fail? I know, thanks. I didn't manage to get myself rejected. So here's what happened when I opened up one of the other envelopes. I decided to open my next challenge because I'm out and I went to the gym and I need to just, let's do this. I need to get these done. So the next challenge says this, and I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. Go to a bank that's not yours and ask a teller if you can borrow $20 and come back in an hour to pay it back. Okay, let me tell you how I feel about this challenge. I haven't been in a bank in 15 years. And when I read that, I thought, do they still have tellers? And then my next thought was, I'm mad. I'm getting mad. I'm mad about these challenges. You know why? Because they're pointless. Who does these things? Nobody does these things. I don't want to do that. I don't know if I can make myself do it, you guys. That's crazy. I did not do the bank. I totally chickened out. And you guys, I began to dread these, like dread them. I did whatever. I would see them sitting on the counter at home and I would walk by them like, I'm gonna die. I don't know what's in there. So I have one left. Challenge number five. I wasn't doing them all in order. So this was the one that was left. And my husband knew what they were, and he was like, you were never in quite the right situation for this. And so I just was like, I guess I just won't do that one. I couldn't do it. I got to do this. So I'm going to open it right now. I don't know what this says. Do you want to find out with me? Okay, I'm going to open this right now, and I promise you, on Tuesday, I'm going to do whatever this says. And I'm going to post it on like Instagram to update you so that you know I really did it, okay? If you want to know what happened, find me on Instagram and I promise to post whatever this is and tell you what happened on Tuesday. Are you ready? Go to a restaurant and ask a manager if you could step in and serve some tables to make a quick buck. Are you kidding me with these? Are you kidding me with these? I will do that. I will hate it. I will dread it, but I will do it. And you'll find out what happened on Tuesday. The reason I said I was getting irritated with these challenges is because of what I accidentally said, and I thought about it later, and I was like, that's it. That's exactly the third P. I said, I'm getting mad because these are pointless. These are pointless. It doesn't seem to be doing anything for me. What is the purpose in this? And purpose is our third P, because purpose and knowing the purpose that this rejection is serving is the only thing that makes it worth it. It's the only thing that makes persevering through rejection worth it. Rejection that doesn't bring us any closer to our goal, I'll avoid asking tellers to borrow $20 for the rest of my life. It doesn't seem worth it. Jesus came with a purpose. And he also came knowing that that purpose would include rejection. And the reason I feel so sure that he knew is because these words that I'm about to read you from the prophet Isaiah were written 700 years before he showed up. This was a prophecy about the work of the Messiah. I want you to listen to this. Isaiah 53. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And it's by his wounds that we are healed. Jesus came with a purpose, and he knew it was going to include being rejected like that. Jesus was rejected for everything you could be rejected for. He was rejected for how he looked. He was rejected for who his friends were. He was rejected for who his friends weren't. He was rejected for the message that he spoke. He was rejected for the crowds that he gathered. He was rejected on every level by his own people, the Jewish people. He was rejected by the Roman world around him. And it even looked like he had been rejected by God because he went to the cross. What was happening there? And as Isaiah said, he was pierced and he was punished on the cross, and his rejection looked like it was going to be complete, full, final, done, and over when he yelled out the words right before his death, my God, why have you forsaken me? But it was at the moment of his death when he took on the fullness of our rejection from God, it was at that moment that his purpose was complete. Because his purpose was us. His purpose was us. And what those words say, my God, why have you forsaken me? It turns out those are the beginning words to Psalm 22. And you better believe he would have known exactly what he was saying. What he was saying was the beginning of a psalm that was written to declare the Messiah and the work of the Messiah and the rejection of the Messiah. And it starts with rejection, but it doesn't end there. Listen to these words now near the end of that Psalm 22. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of all the nations will bow down before him. Jesus' rejection ended in community, you guys. He brought us to our goal. He absolutely brought us to our goal. And on the cross, he guaranteed that we would be invited into community by a God who will never, never, never reject us. And any of us who will trust Jesus with our life are invited into that community right now. Right now. And we need to know that he is a God who went through it to get us to his Father, who welcomes us into his community. Because guess what? People sometimes don't. We are not going to get it all right all the time, right now, right here. And that's why we have to know that we belong to a Father who does not reject us. Jesus faced so much rejection that I have to conclude, if I'm following him and my life is like his, then I am going to face that same rejection. And I want to share some of that rejection with you. I want to read you some emails that I have gotten over time here at Crossroads. I don't like you or anything about you. You have no real insight or wisdom. Your sermon was great, but you don't look great. You really need some different clothes. Why do we let women speak and teach here? You are ignorant, dangerous, and should never be allowed to speak to anyone ever again. The sound of your voice and the way that you talk, it all just bothers me. How dare you force your thoughts on us? I'm leaving Crossroads and I am never coming back because of you. You all, that kind of rejection really hurts. It really hurts. Also, there's something far more important than that. There's something far more important than that. It doesn't matter how I feel on Monday morning if the God who never rejects you, if you know him better, it doesn't matter. If Jesus' purpose is furthered one tiny little bit, then it doesn't matter how I feel about that. As a matter of fact, God kind of guarantees that we're going to participate in some sort of rejection, and he is going to help us weather through it because I care about you finding your people and God healing your pain much more than I am afraid of the email that's coming on Monday morning, much more. I care about that much more. We're going to push through this together. We're going to develop thick skin together. We are in this together because this is a lifelong battle to not let this voice cut us off from what God has for us. He has it for us, and you are in a great place to find it. Man, I've been around here a long time. I'm not kidding you. I've heard everything that people say about Crossroads. Good, bad, ugly, wonderful. I've heard it all. And I'm going to tell you the one thing I have never heard anyone say is that the people here are not amazing. You are in the best place to try again. You are in the best place to develop thick skin. You are in the best place to persevere. There are real people who really love Jesus, who really know grace, who really want to connect with each other, and they're here, and your people are here, and I want you to find them. And I want to do it with you, and we have been doing blood, sweat, and tears behind the scenes on staff because we know how critically important this is for our very health and survival. We care. So there's a brand new part of our website. Not only are there people in orange jackets if you're at a site, but there's a brand new part of our website, and it's called crossroads.net/get connected. Get connected. And it is a one-stop shop for every doorway we have to people, because that's what we're trying to do. I want you to have a web like mine. I want you to step through door after door after door and let God weave your web together for you. And that is a one-stop shop for you to be able to do it. You can find camps, you can find serving, you can find small groups, you can find whatever it is that you're interested in finding, but I want you to persevere with me. I want you to recognize the ways that we've been running from it, and I want you to persevere with me, and I want you to lean into the bigger purpose of connecting with the God and people who won't reject you, who will become your community, who will become your very lifeblood here on this earth. I want that for you, and I want it for me. So I challenge you to go through that this week, maybe find a new opportunity, maybe try again, and I'm going to pray that God will weave together a web of community in all of our lives. Father, thank you for being a God who sent his son to get us, who's capable of healing any pain that we've ever felt from being rejected. And I pray that you would connect up every person listening or present with us with people that love you, that will love them. That's what we want, Lord. We want to be known. We want to be connected to you and to each other. So help, please, by your Spirit, make that happen. Amen. Thanks, you guys. Go to get connected. Find your people. Keep trying. We'll see you next week.